Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host, managing, financing, and marketing small business and startups on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Today, my guest is Michael Brent Collins. He is the author of the new book called The Haunted. If you'd like to speak to Michael Brent, you can give us a call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460. Or you can pose a question in the chat room and I'll read on the air, or you can Twitter me at #ApplesCapital. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you. So are those the only ways they can contact you, or can they, like, show up at the studio with a bloody head and just force entry?
Well, we prefer not that. No additional spirits here. Hey, we've got to keep it sane.
I have to ask that question. That way the crazies stay away, and also people are in, you know, notified up front what kind of books I write.
Well, you know, believe it or not, the office and the building take liberties of Halloween, and so that is, they can get away with a lot of stuff on that day. They can dress who they, as long as they're in good taste, dress what they want to dress like, and you just see people in the downtown district wearing all types of things. And so, yeah, it's kind of a fun day, and we do get that, and it is haunting.
Well, you got to have a little fun with life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So kind of take us back a second. Tell us who you are for the people who don't know, and people, you know, we found out it's better that the person say, hey, this is who I am, and then versus reading the credentials so they can read that online. So
sure,
kind of tell
okay.
us where you're from and how you got started.
Well, my name is Michael Brent Collings, as you announced. For those who aren't reading along, my first name is actually Michael Brent, so I'll say up front, if you're looking for me on, you know, Google or Facebook, all you have to do is Google Michael Brent, all one word, and you'll bump into me because there's no other guy named that in the universe that I've been able to find. And my story is pretty simple. I grew up in a city outside of Los Angeles, and my father, Michael R. Collings, who's a great guy, but don't confuse us. He was the creative writing director at Pepperdine for a long time, and he was also probably the number one world academic expert on Stephen King. So every wow. night when I went to bed, I would go to sleep with either tick, 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 tick of him typing in the next room, or ee! If he was watching a horror movie. So it was kind of natural that I gravitated to writing and to horror. So I've been doing that for my whole life, but I also held a day job, and you know, went to college, and I was a lawyer myself for about a decade, and ended up being partner at a law firm. And around the same time as that, I started selling a lot of books and some screenplays. So I was able to quit my day job and do something that I wow. like quite a bit more, which is scaring the pants off people, hopefully.
Wow. You know, just before we went on the air, we were talking about you had a lot of Michaels in your family. and you separate yourself as Michael Brent because so we know which Michael, I guess, on the phone you're
yep.
talking about. Well, how many Michaels in your family?
Well, my son's Michael, my father's Michael, my brother-in-law's Michael, my nephew is Michael, and we all live within like 5 miles of each other. and I know there are some others that I'm forgetting. Those are just the ones that I contact on a regular basis.
Any seniors, juniors, or fourth, fifth generations?
No, because they've all thrown
Michael.
Different Yeah, they've all thrown a different middle name, so there's not a whole lot of juniors and thirds, which I'm glad of because I have a lot of friends who are juniors and thirds, but I wouldn't be able to say, you know, Michael so-and-so the third without putting on a Thurston Howell kind of voice and making even more of a fool of myself on an even more regular basis.
Tell us about, you know, you started a law career at the very beginning and...
Mm-hmm.
And then you gravitate. I know people like to go with a passion because mm-hmm. not only you get the fulfillment of that, but also it becomes real profitable for you over time as
yeah.
you get better and better. How was that when you decided that day, that moment, hey, I'm going to lead a law firm and I'm going to step on my own. I have a background in writing. I'm a lawyer. I like to talk. Let me go. I'm just going to step out on faith and I'm just going to go out there and just do my thing. What was that day like, and what was that last day when you were in your office?
Well, it was extraordinarily weird. I'll just say that. I mean, I will be honest that tensions had arisen. This is part of the problem with moonlighting. If you have a serious grown-up job like being a lawyer, some of the people in the office started seeing my name news outlets, and they weren't Michael Brent Collings has won this or that case. It was Michael Brent Collings just... sold a screenplay, or Michael Brent Collings just had a number one bestseller on Amazon, and it kind of weirded them out. I think some of them did not care for the fact that I had a life outside the office, so it actually created some tension. So on the final day, it was just kind of really surreal. I mean, I had literally within a month of each other sold two screenplays for some pretty significant amounts of money, and then at the same time, my first released book on Amazon, which was called Run, was going up the charts every day and had just broken into the top 100 horror novels and top 100 sci-fi novels. So I was making, you know, some really good money everywhere, but it was still really bizarre to say, okay, I'm gonna stop with the health benefits and I'm gonna stop getting a regular paycheck and I'm gonna go and type every day and see what I can do to make a living that way. It was scary. My wife, who is a wonderful human being, encouraged it. She thought she would see more of me that way, since being a lawyer is kind of a time-sucking career choice. And so she was all behind it. And I found that you really need that. I mean, if you're going to do something that, especially something that's a bit off the beaten path, you have to have a support group. And if that support group does not start with the people closest to you, the difficulties are going to be magnified exponentially.
Wow. So you have to have that support.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, you know, they say no man is an island. And I think that's something of a misnomer because I've met a couple islands that they don't want anything to do with people. And, you know, that's
absolutely.
Fine. I'm not knocking that way, but I think it's just so much easier, like I say, especially when you're trying something new, be it, you know, trying to be a full-time author or be it starting up your own dry cleaning business that you've always dreamed of or whatever it might be. You know, you need to have somebody there that is willing to listen to you when you go and hang your head and say, today did not go the way I wanted it to.
So when you stepped out on that day, now when I say you walked out and begin writing, how long did it take you to write the book? Or you already had the book already out?
Yeah, I already had one book out, and I actually write pretty quickly. Usually I'll get an idea and I'll noodle with it in the back of my head for a week or two and just kind of flesh it out without writing anything. And once I actually start writing, it usually takes about any time from 3 weeks to a month and a half to write a full-size novel, and screenplays I can usually finish up in 1 to 2 weeks tops.
Wow. So the transition of both of those, writing a book is one thing because you can keep going. Doing a screenplay, then you have to describe the scenes. Is it as difficult writing for a screenplay?
You know, I compare them both to surgery. And writing a book, because you have to be really precise and you have to understand your craft. A lot of people, anybody can be a writer, and I think that's important to know. All you have to do to be a writer is write stuff. If you want people to read your stuff and like it enough that A, they pay for it, and B, they try and convince all their friends to pay for it, That requires a different level of expertise and a different level of dedication. So, you know, I really compare them both to surgery. The difference between them is screenwriting I compare to laser surgery. It's not that it's more difficult, but it's definitely more precise. In a book, you have, you know, say 400, 300 pages at minimum, and you can spread out your character, and you can really get people invested in it because they spend hours and hours and hours of time. In a screenplay, you have much less time, much fewer words, really serious formatting restrictions. And if you send it to a production company and they're not absolutely hooked within the first 10 pages, which is just when somebody normally is warming into a novel, if they're not pretty much convinced that they can't put the screenplay down after they've read only 10 pages, you're probably not going to make it through the first cut.
Wow. So when you submit your book over to a publisher, what type of things do they look for?
Publishers look for a lot of things. They look for commercial appeal, you know, how wide-ranging it is. The good news is there's a lot of publishers that are niche publishers. So if, you know, if you're a horror writer like I am, or a thriller writer, which my work is also classified as, there are a lot of publishing houses that will go for that. If you are a writer who solely concentrates on, I'm making something silly up, you know, lesbian, vampire, Martian fiction, there's probably a publishing house out there that specializes in that. So you have to, if you're gonna go and publish the traditional route, you have to find a publisher that does the stuff that you do. You know, the people that publish Stephen King's books are not going to be interested in publishing, you know, Harlequin romances. They're different, you know, sort of sides of a different field. And so you've got to zone in on who actually is interested in the kind of stuff you're writing. Now, for me, I mean, I have some traditionally published stuff, but the great majority of my work is self-published because I found I made a lot more money that way. My self-published books took off and you know, just word of mouth. So like I said, my first book, Run, hit number one on the horror charts on Amazon. And my most recent book, The Haunted, has also been on the bestsellers list off and on, and, you know, it's kind of climbing its way up as well, so I expect it'll get up there in time. So for me, I don't have to worry about nor necessarily what a publisher wants. I just have to worry about pleasing my audience. And that's almost more difficult because with a publisher, you have at least a specific person, an editor you're going to try and, you know, make happy. With you know, self-published stuff, part of the reason it is so hard is because you are kind of shooting in the dark and hoping you hit somebody, and that can be a very daunting task.
So when you wrote Run and when you wrote the others, you know, Billy and Rising Fears, and when you wrote those, did you have an editor edit it at the very end, or you just shot in the dark and sent it to Amazon for publishing and went from there?
No, they were definitely edited. I have a number of professional editors that I know, and they took looks at it. Part of the problem with my books was I literally would have editors come back and saying, I'm not sure how good a job I did. I got involved in the story, and I forgot to edit, which is a nice compliment.
yeah, it is.
Yeah, part of the bar that you have to kind of hurdle if you're a self-published person is most people that look at your work who don't know you are going to assume that there's some crud in it because you have no gatekeeper. I mean, at a publishing house, you have several layers of editors who can come to you and go, I fixed all these mistakes, but by the way, this book in general is crap and nobody should read it and you need to rethink it. Whereas if you're self-publishing, there are, you know, millions of self-published books, and unfortunately, a large number of the people putting them out are not very professional, so they don't care about editing. They don't care about a story. They've, you know, wrote the thing that their mom patted them on the head and said, this was the best book I ever read, which moms are required to do. And so the person put it out on Amazon, and then is surprised when the only person they actually sell the book to is their mom. So if you are self-published, you almost have to be more professional than a traditionally published author because people are going to be not only averse to looking at your stuff in the first place. While they read it, they're going to be looking for problems.
Wow. When you go and self-publish, is it really expensive to self-publish? I mean, writing is one thing. Is your own material However, when you go to the point of self-publishing, getting a editor to look at that, what the typical cost is that, you know, for a person to go that route?
You know, there's no typical cost because, you know, I have friends who are editors and do it for, you know, very inexpensively. People who get the wrong editor can pay, you know, I have a friend who paid something like $2,000 to have one of his books edited. And that was just for one editor. And then the publishing itself can range from very inexpensive if you do use a print-on-demand company, like CreateSpace, for instance, to very expensive if you get a letter from a really nice-sounding publishing company that says they want to, quote, help, unquote, you publish your book. And that usually means, hey, call us and we'll print it for you, and you just have to front us $5,000 or $6,000. So publishing yourself can be very expensive if you don't know what you're doing or if you get suckered into it. Like any other small business, you have to really research your way along and be continually learning. I mean, if you go in there assuming you know everything, you're not only not going to succeed, you're probably going to fail in a blazing, fiery crash.
Wow. Which is haunting.
It totally. Well, you know, and people are like, where do you get your ideas from? And I'm like, hey, you know, I've got a kid on the way. I've got two already here. I've got a wife. You know, it's scary enough just taking care of people. So, you know, finding a scary idea is no problem.
Oh, wow. So what a person should look for, okay, they already have a book. They're going to spend $5,000 to go ahead and have it published. Or have the editor. They paid the money for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got the book. Now you have the company to make it. Now you had to get to a distributor.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you're saying that it'll take months before you hear back from a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Amazon, you know, is amazing because you guys can go and submit things to Amazon in both formats. You can do electronic and also a physical book.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about that? Because that's really, for the self-published author, that's like a godsend.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you really don't need a book company to do all your work. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And obviously I'm a big fan because that's, you know, one of the outlets I use. And it's nice to, you know, when I can say to a prospective reader, I have been the number one horror writer for a while for basically the world's largest single bookseller these days. So that's wonderful. It does present, again, some problems because the doors are so wide open to new work like that. Again, anytime you go into Amazon, you are going to encounter, you know, Stephen King or Dean Koontz, and you might like them or you might hate them, but you know kind of you're going to get a certain level of quality for what they do, whereas, you know, the first time you see a Michael Brent Collings book, you have to ask yourself, whoa, is this going to be any good, you know, because there's a lot of dreck out there on Amazon. You know, you look at their sales ratings, and if you have a book that's rated number 1,000,000th and 600,072nd, that means it never sold a single copy, kind of thing. And
wow.
And there are a lot of those. So, you know, that's helpful for me because people look at my books and they say, oh, you know, it was a number one bestseller, or it's currently, you know, in the high thousands in its overall, Amazon's overall sales rank. And, you know, it's doing pretty good because that's out of millions of projects and properties. But, again, if you just throw spaghetti on the wall and call it art, there's not a whole lot of people that are going to end up buying into that. And I have some friends that, you know, really wanted to publish a book, and they found out about Amazon, and they published their book. And that's great. That's wonderful. That is a dream come true. And if Amazon can afford you that dream, more power to you. Just, again, you really have to decide who your audience is. And for, say, The Haunted, I knew I wanted to make a really good fun horror ghost story, not just for my family to enjoy, but for thousands of people to enjoy. And I had to spend a bit more time on it than if I just wanted to spook out my wife.
Wow. So when you write, how do these ideas come to you? I mean, it's just you come with a, hey, just like, I mean, it's just visually, I know once you get a spark, how do these sparks come to you, like in the middle of the night? Or you just can be sitting at the computer or watching something on TV, maybe the price is right, and then the idea just pops to you?
Well, it's different ways with different things. I wrote a screenplay called Chimera, which, you know, I dreamt the story and I woke up and I wrote it. And, I mean, it pretty much happened about that fast, and the story just popped full-blown into my head. One of my books is called The Loon, and it is it's doing really well. It's actually a bestseller here and in Europe. And The Loon takes place in a maximum security prison for the criminally insane during a blizzard that shuts the prison off from the outside world. And for that one, the genesis of the story was I literally sat down and thought, okay, what is the scariest place I can imagine? A prison. What would make it even scarier? Well, if everybody was a murderer. What would make it even scarier if everybody was a crazy murderer? And I just kind of added, what would make it scarier? What would make it scarier? Until I had this kind of world idea, and then I plopped characters in there and saw what they would do. So all that to say, you know, sometimes it comes very organically or naturally. You know, you dream something and it's a good starting off point. Sometimes it's a very intellectual exercise with like The Loon. My book Run, it was actually Amazon's number 61 selling title overall on Kindle out of the millions and millions of properties they have on Kindle. That started because I went and visited a working silver mine once, and while I was touring it, I thought, I have got to put a book in here. And so Run, though it has nothing to do with that, there is a chase scene in a mine. And the entire genesis of the book was, how can I find an excuse for getting these characters in here?
Wow. How do you market yourself?
A number of ways. I mean, luckily, most of my marketing, I mean, if you're, whether you're selling books or hamburgers or, you know, cars or whatever, you have to realize that the best marketing is going to be word of mouth. So the first thing I do to market is I try and put out a good product that, like I said, people will not only want to pay to read, but they will try and get their friends to do the same. That's the best marketing you can do. After that, you know, I do shows like this one. I was recently invited to be a special guest at the World Horror Convention, and so I went and was sitting with, you know, hugely famous writers and jib-jabbing with them and giving my two cents to anybody who would listen. And, you know, I just kind of try and make myself accessible. So I've made a number of friends in the news business, and they know if they ever need a human interest piece, they can turn to me. So, you know, number one, first and foremost, is you've got to have a good product. If you really want to be successful, whatever your product is, make sure it's quality. And the other marketing thing is I just talk to anybody that will listen to me, be it on a one-on-one basis or be it to an audience of people who are interested in learning how to write, or be it to you or other broadcast or internet radio stations. And I do interviews for blogs and things like that. So I just, you know, it's getting your name out there and getting your product more visible.
Is there an association that a person can look towards if they're looking at writing a book, or they have this burning desire in their heart and they just want to walk through that path? Is there an association that they can look at to help guide them through that process?
There probably is. I mean, I don't know them all, but, you know, if you Google the average person, especially in the U.S., you know, you can probably Google your city name and then, you know, say Cincinnati writing groups, and you'll probably come up with lists of people that are interested in helping each other towards their goal of writing that first novel or getting published or whatever it may be. Where I'm at, there's a group that calls themselves a Writers Guild, and they get together once a month and shoot the breeze and compare notes and make contacts with each other. So it just it depends where you live, but yeah, there's absolutely people who are interested in helping each other to do that. You can also go to a lot of these conventions, like I said, I was at World Horror Con, and while I was there, I didn't just meet other authors, I met publishers. You know, I sat down and had drinks with some really cool guys from different publishing houses, and it was all about meeting people and networking, and you can do that whether you're published or not. You know, people, especially if you want to be a writer, a lot of writers are really nice people, but a lot of them go into writing because they're not really excited about the idea of dealing with the outside world. So, you know, they're kind of a little less socially conscious, which means you get to walk up to them and say, I like your work. And as long as you're not some weirdo, most authors will respond with, like, that's really nice, and will often be willing to talk to you about the process. So, you know, you can go to these fan conventions and try and meet people. It's a really great way to learn that way. And the best possible way to learn how to write is to read and to write yourself. I mean, if you say, I want to be the next, you know, J.K. Rowling or Stephen King or whatever, and you just sit and watch television and never let a book pass your hot little hands, you're in trouble. It's not going to happen. So that's the number one way to write is you should get to know your local library, and the people at the bookstore should roll their eyes when they see you coming. Oh, it's Michael Brent. Get out the wheelbarrow kind of thing.
There you go. What do you think about today's environment when it comes to books? I mean, it looked like we're about to have a funeral for, you know, book publishers about 5 years ago, and Amazon was still at the beginning, still struggling, haven't made a profit yet, and people still had questions if this internet project is going to work. Then all of a sudden, things has turned the course 5 years ago for Amazon, and they're like the really number one. Everything is Amazon. It took them years to get there, but they finally got there. But as we see, you know, library products are really shrinking. Book publishers are going out of, some of them going out of business. What's your opinion on that? Are we going to be a ebook generation, or is there still like people like you and I? We like the ebook, but I actually prefer the physical book to hold it. And it's something about having the physical book in my hand that makes me more engaged and taking my finger and flipping it. Even it's more convenient, but however, what's your opinion of that?
Well,
about the industry
I
as a whole and books?
I do think my son, you know, my son is 7, and I think he's going to grow up with mostly e-books because it is terribly convenient. You know, I do like to hold books in my hands, and I have lots of books. My father, like I said, is an English professor and creative writing guy, and he has probably tens of thousands of books, and that's the environment I grew up in. That being said, I like being able to throw my iPad in my luggage to go on a business trip and know that I have, you know, 200 books in it and access to millions more. That's incredibly nice. I was actually at a writer's group a month or two ago, and they asked me to read something, and I was not prepared for that. So, you know, but I had my Kindle with me, so I just popped open one of my books and read it right there. So there's definitely a level of convenience you just cannot replicate with good old-fashioned print books. But like I said, that being said, I think that print books will always have a place. First of all, for trade books and journals and things like that, because there's nothing like being able to spread out 10 books on your desk and when you're really researching a problem that's a technical detail issue. I would not like to try and figure out law writing on a Kindle. That would just be horrific.
Oh my gosh.
And likewise, I think, you know, fiction books, there will always be a paper presence for people like you and me who like to cuddle up with a paperback book with its dusty smell and its pages that crinkle in your hand, you know. So it's always going to be, I don't think paper is ever going to disappear any more than it did when television was invented, but it will shift into a different selling model. My suspicion is that fewer and fewer brick-and-mortar book companies are going to exist, although in my best possible world scenario, Amazon would start putting out actual physical locations where you could go and buy books too, because there's, like I said, there's something to be said for going in and running your fingers along the spines of books and pulling them out and looking at them. So I hope that never disappears, but I do think we're definitely shifting into a much more digitized book age.
Wow. What are you working on now?
Well, I just finished The Haunted, and as soon as I finish The Haunted, I went straight to World HorrorCon, and I just got back a couple of days ago, and then I had a procedure for a back problem. So right now what I'm working on is getting caught up on some reading. I also do some business, some consulting, writing consulting for people. So, you know, I have a number of clients that I'm reading their books and providing notes for and some screenplays and things like that. So right now I'm warming up for my next project, but I haven't started typing yet. You have to have a little bit of downtime in between or else you can fry your brain really fast.
Wow. You talked about a few authors at the top of the hour. Who influenced you?
Well, sorry about that. That was terrible.
Oh,
the number one influence I've had, I would say, is my father, because he's a great writer, and he's also a horror bestseller. And he taught me from an early age. Outside of my own family, probably my favorite authors are Dean Koontz, Orson Scott Card, Stephen King. I like speculative fiction. I like the fantastic and things like that. And the people who work in that field I found are terrifically nice people. I've met Dean Koontz on a number of occasions, and I somehow found myself on his Christmas mailing list, which is, you know, great fun to get a letter once a year from Dean Koontz.
Wow.
And I've called him a number of times to talk about things, and the dude is busy, and he's, you know, richer than anybody I know, and every time I've called, he has put down what he's doing and said, "What do you need?" You know, so he's just one of those genuinely nice human beings, so I have to like his books that much more. Brandon Mull, who wrote the Fablehaven series and is writing the New York Times bestselling Beyonder series, I grew up with him, and he is one of the nicest people in the universe. I wish him every penny that he earns because he's just that nice of a guy. Orson Scott Card has been terrifically influential in my writing, and again, I've had the pleasure of being a friend of his for about a decade now, so those are probably the main guys that I look to when I'm having a funk day, you know, where just everything's terrible. I'm most likely going to end up cracking open a Dean Koontz or a Orson Scott Card or a Stephen King or a Brandon Mull book.
Wow. What is the best part and the worst part of writing?
The best part of writing is there's probably two best parts. One is when you finish the story. I mean, it's just a great feeling. You know, I wrote The Haunted, which is the newest one, and the concept of The Haunted is I wanted to do a straightforward ghost story, you know, a poltergeist story. So it's set in this little country house where this pregnant woman and her husband have just moved in, and these things start happening, and I wanted to make it as scary and intense as possible. So I knew I was on the right track when my father, who reads everything I write and gives me helpful pointers often, because he's such a good teacher, like I said, he came out halfway through and said, "If you don't give these people a break, I'm going to have to stop because my heart won't take it." And I knew I was on the right track. But that being said, it's, you know, it was a kind of a dark place to inhabit for a month, you know, so when I finished, I could finally stretch out and go, whew, you know, I can go watch an animated fairy tale with my kids and get out of ghosting and you know, ghost hunting and exorcisms and all these dark things. So it's really nice for me to finish a book and go, oh, good, it's done. And, you know, of course, there's always rewrites and there's marketing and everything else that goes into producing a good book. But for that, you know, minute, I can take a breath. And the other best part is, you know, just getting a paycheck and going, wow, I'm actually, you know, I'm making, not just making money, but I'm making other people, you know, enjoy themselves, hopefully. I'm leaving the world a little bit better than I found it. And that's just a tremendously satisfying thing to be able to say.
Wow. Do you prefer novel writing or screenwriting?
I like them both equally. I mean, I really like how I can get into a novel and, you know, explore ideas in a lengthy fashion and really, you know, amp up the scares sentence by sentence by sentence. Or, because I don't only do scary stuff, I have a young adult fantasy novel called Billy, Messenger of Powers, that's also a bestseller. and doing really well. And that one's just pure fun. So I like to be able to create whatever atmosphere I'm going for over time. It's just really fun so that at the end you really know you've been scared, or you really feel like you've, you know, flown with dragons or whatever the case may be. But with screenwriting, I like how it really forces you to crystallize your thoughts and focus them in very tightly, because you do not have a single word to spare. Like I said, you've got to utterly hook the reader by the 10th page or it gets dead on the water, and it has to be so well written that they can see the scene in their head as they go, so that instead of thinking, how can I make this into a movie, which means you haven't done your job, at the end they go, wow, I just read a great movie, not screenplay, movie. And so there's a discipline to screenwriting that really appeals to me. It's a lot of fun too.
Wow. Any movies in the works or in consideration?
I have two movies that should be coming out this year. One's called Barricade,
wow,
and it's a ghost story, and one is called Dark Room, and that is a very kind of gritty, scary thriller about a girl who gets kidnapped. And has to, you know, find her way out. But there's some really fun twists to it, because I always like adding, you know, what makes my work stand out is I might take an idea that's been done before, but I try and add something new and fresh so people go, oh, I've seen this. And then 5 minutes in, they go, I've never seen this, you know. So I've got those two coming out, and then I'm, you know, constantly working to set up the next one. It's funny, because if you want to be a screenwriter, you also have to be willing to sell your screenplay, you know, during the course of 5 years, and somebody finally picks it up at the end of that kind of thing. So you always have to have a long-term plan in place so that you've got the next one coming and the next one coming and the next one coming.
Okay. We're going to take a short 1 minute break, play something from our sponsor, and then we're going to ask about last words and if you can read something, a short, scary passage from your book real quick.
Sure.
And we'll close out the show. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead and take the station
Great.
Break and for about 60 seconds.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
We're back with Michael Brent Collins, the author of the new recent book, The Haunted. Michael, you back? Okay. Michael, we're back now.
All right.
I forgot to turn your mic back on. I'm sorry. Okay.
No
I guess
problem.
Let's. Just read a passage from your book, and then we can go with last words and close out.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll read a couple of paragraphs, first paragraphs from my recent book, The Haunted. So if you're listening, go ahead and, you know, sit in a dark place and get all spooky. All right. The house sat atop a hill. It had sat there for many years, and as far as anyone knew, would sit there for many more. Visitors would occasionally travel the long path to see it. They would shiver and wrap their coats tightly around them if it was winter. If it was summer, they would shiver and wish they were wearing a coat in the first place. It was a beautiful house, a bit long in the tooth, perhaps, but far from being any kind of an eyesore. It was hardly modern, but anyone who saw it and was able to focus solely on its architecture as opposed to the feelings it engendered, agreed that it was of good and hale age. Not old, but full of character, like a woman who has seen enough life to have a few wrinkles around the corners of her eyes. No longer virginal, perhaps, but the experience she had would more than make up for any kind of youthful energy. Of course, few people could stand to examine it on that level. They shivered and shuddered, and one or two got as far as the front porch before turning back. And when they made the long trek down the driveway, then rode through the forest and across the river and back into town, they met with friends and told whispered stories of the house, in parlors just light enough to remind them of the shadows, because tales of the house should not, could not, be told in brightness. So that's the opening couple pages of the newest, The Haunted.
Wow, that's amazing. Any last words?
My only last words, other than obviously, buy my books. They're available at Amazon, and my website is michaelbrentcollings.com. My last words to your audience would be, I hope you have a great day. I hope you are, wherever you are and whoever you are, involved in doing something that, if possible, you love, and hopefully that makes the world a better place. Everybody has got a great story to tell, and one of the tragedies of today's environment is we care so little about the stories of the people around us. So I really hope we can change that bit by bit and start to look upon each other with the value and appreciation that we deserve.
Well said. I really appreciate it. Michael, thank you so much for coming on to the program and sharing your story with us.
My pleasure. It really was. Thank you, and I hope you have a fabulous day.
Same here. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, that's Michael Brent Collings, the writer of the new book. It's called The Haunted. Again, you can go to his website at michaelbrentcollings.com for more information. Also, you can Google him or go to Amazon, and all his information is on Amazon and his best-selling books, horror and sci-fi. So anyway, if you have any, you can download this episode on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, a blog.apple capital group. Thank you for listening to the program. Have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.